Now I'll present one of the sons of Ishtalabel, Barzillai Halfa.
Shabbat Shalom, everyone. You may be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. My title today is The Gates of Hell Will Not Prevail Against the House of Yahweh. Now, in the American Heritage Dictionary, prevail means... It means to be or prove superior in strength, power, or influence. Here are some sentences where people were superior or prevailed. They prevailed over their enemies in a battle. They succeed. To succeed, become dominant, win out, to persuade, influence. Prevail in Jewish gematria is number 875. And 875 in Strong's Hebrew is the word beer, or bar, B-A-A-R. It's a prime root analogy to engrave, to explain, declare, make plain. The other number is 498, and 498 in Strong's is illusor. If you don't know how to spell that, it's spelled E-L-U-W-Z-A-Y. It's from number 410 and number 5756. In the sense of 5756, the number 414, the number 410 means Yahweh is defensive. And when it says Yahweh is defensive, it doesn't mean that he did something wrong and he needs to defend himself. It means that he defends his people. It means that he defends those who keep his 613 laws. Praise Yahweh. The other number is number 83, and it comes from the number 82, and that number 82 means fly. Soar. And our overseer, Pastor Israel Hawkins, is 82 years old, and he is flying out of the wilderness and nourishing Yahweh's people. Praise Yahweh. Please turn over to 1 Samuel 2:9. 1 Samuel 2:9. Found on page 224. It says, he will guard his saints. He will guard the feet of his saints, but the wicked shall be silent in darkness. For it is not by strength that man shall prevail. This is saying that Yahweh will guard the feet of his saints. It means that he will protect his people, if we practice unity. If you'll turn over to Matthias 16:18. Matthias 16:18, found on page 744. It says, and I also say to you, who are Kepha, whose name means rock, the rock that is upon this rock, Yahweh unity. I will build this house, family, the house of Yahweh, and the gates of Sheol, the grave, will not prevail against it. As you can see there, if we practice unity, the gates of hell will not prevail. He is our will. He is our will, meaning Yahweh. Yahweh is our will, from which we draw the waters of life. He is engraving the seal of Yahweh on us. If you'll turn over to Revelations 7:1. I don't have that, but... Well, I'll just skip that scripture. And we are waiting for the completion of the 144,000 priesthood. We are in the wilderness being fed and nourished by the explanation of Yahweh's laws and his plan. Yahweh is our defender. Yahweh is defensive. And like I said earlier, it doesn't mean that Yahweh did something wrong. He protects his people who keep his 613 laws. Yahweh is defensive of his people to protect and keep them in righteousness. It is up to us to remain in unity, obey the teachings, and keep Yahweh's laws so that the gates of hell will not prevail. In the 13th book of Yeshua, part 2, chapter 20, verse 41, it says, "And the king will reign and succeed." He says, if you remember, Yeshua said that on this rock, meaning unity, everybody is going to agree, or they won't be there. That's what causes separation in the world today. Disagreements, people wanting their own way instead of Yahweh's. And when I hear people wanting their own way instead of Yahweh's, I immediately think of when they opposed Samuel, said they wanted a king like all the other nations. So either you're going to agree or you won't be there. Or you won't be a part of it. On unity. "I will establish my house," Yahshua said, "and the gates of hell will not prevail against it." If you'll turn over to Jeremiah 11:19, "But I was like a docile lamb brought to the slaughter. I did not know that they had devised schemes against me, saying, 'Let us destroy the tree with its fruit, and let us cut of from the land of the living, so his name may be no more.'" May I bless your understanding, and with that, if you all please stand. I'll turn it over to Deacon Aaron.
Shalom, everyone. Y'all may be seated. I am Deacon Aaron, and it's a privilege and honor to speak before the called out ones of the house of Yahweh, the kingdom of Yahweh. How is everybody doing today? Praise Yahweh. Still rejoicing? Praise Yahweh. Well, I'm here today to talk to you about the attitude of servitude, because that is Yahweh's way. That's what I want to talk to you all about today, the attitude of servitude. From Webster's Dictionary, the word attitude means the way you think, feel, think about someone or something. And that someone or something I want you to think about is the work of Yahweh and being a part of the kingdom of Yahweh. And the second meaning in Webster's Dictionary is a feeling or the way you think of that affects a person or their behavior. And that is the work of Yahweh and being a part of the kingdom of Yahweh. That feeling towards that and the behavior towards the kingdom of Yahweh. I had the privilege to attend the house of Yahweh for the first time 15 years ago. To come to Abilene here to the kingdom of Yahweh. And what I saw, I'll never forget. That was the most beautiful thing I ever saw. The most beautiful people working hard, I even see people, I think they work 24 hours a day. That was the most hardest working people I saw. And it wasn't for money. It wasn't that they was getting overtime. It wasn't that they was getting triple time when they go over, double time. It wasn't for the payment, but it was out of the love, the same love that I saw from the scriptures, the same law that I saw that what Pastor been teaching us, the same love. Have you ever prepared a speech? That's hard. That's some hard work. And Pastor was doing that constantly during that feast. It reminded me of the scriptures. It reminded me of righteous men in the scriptures that had the attitude of servitude, that perfect attitude of servitude. And it reminded me of the first man with that attitude in Genesis 45, verses 5 and 11. I'm talking about Yosef. Yosef, a man who was sold into slavery by his own brothers. Not by strangers, by his own brothers. And when he finally meet them, he didn't say, well, you people sold me into Egypt. Man, let these people be killed. He could have done that. He had the authority to do that. He was the governor of all the land. But instead, he said in chapter 5, in verse 5 of chapter 45, he said, and now, do not be distressed nor angry with yourself for selling me here. For Yahweh has sent me ahead of you to save lives. He says, I will provide for you, in verse 11, I will provide for you and for your household so that you will not be destitute. You know, and then the second person I remember in scriptures, while looking at the people of Yahweh doing the work, I remember Moshe. You know, Moshe, when he became of age, and that's also in the book of Genesis, when he became of age, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh. Pharaoh's daughter. He refused that, but instead chose to serve Yahweh's people, humbling himself, learning for 40 years to take the children of Israel out of Egypt, out of the bondage that they was in the street, and teaching them and leading them for 40 more years in the wilderness. And this is the example here in Exodus 32 and verse 32. This is Moshe's attitude, and I want you guys to see the attitude. It says, yet now I pray, forgive their sins. But if not, because the children of Israel, they always were sinning. He said, but if not, blot me out of the book that you have written. Blot me out. That is the man attitude of servitude. And that's what I see in our pastor and overseer. And Yahshua even spoke of him in the book of Hebrew in verse 24, verse 26, and also verse 27. And you guys could read that. But I'm going to just paraphrase this here. Moshe, by the faith, when he became of age, refused to be called Pharaoh's daughter's son, but choosing to suffer affliction with the people of Yahweh. It says here in verse 26, esteeming the reproach of the saints greater than all the treasures of Egypt. And that is something that that's something I saw here. I saw people giving up their jobs in the world to come to Yahweh's house to do the work of Yahweh, and it wasn't for pay. So I'm very honored to be before the kingdom of Yahweh here today. And then, next person in scripture I look up to, and I saw this attitude of servitude, is Yahshua. And this man served a people. He taught these people, and his work has trickled down into today. He's working with our pastor and overseer. He is the high priest over the house of Yahweh in these last days. The work he did, feeding thousands of people, that is hard work, and dying for our sins. And what he taught us, what he taught his disciples in Yochanan 13 and verse 1 to 35, and you guys can read it, we read over that at Yahshua's memorial, you know, how he taught them, when you come together, wait on one another. That's what I saw the family of Yahweh doing. They waited on one another. Because that's what Pastor taught them. And I have a quote from the 13th book of Israel, part 1, verses 24 and verse 29. Chapter 24 and verse 95. It says, well, if you know anything about the Catholic Church, you know the Catholic Church teaches iniquity. All Christians teaches iniquity. Iniquity is doing away with Yahweh's laws. Look it up in Strong's Concordance, Bible Dictionary. Any Any Bible will help you to tell you iniquity is doing away, rebelling, and ignoring the laws of Yahweh. And of course, those who reverence Yahweh, who get the spirit of Yahweh to do just the opposite. They teach and they abide by Yahweh's laws. After the example of Yahshua. And that's how I knew that Pastor was the last day's witness, the one sent, because he was teaching after the example of Yahshua, and I could see it in the people. It says, after the example of servitude. That's the attitude. Pastor said, I'll remember those words forever. Now, this is what we've been taught, and this is what we're going to do. And I would like to be a part of this forever. It says here, and he will execute judgment amongst the nation. Yes, remember the house of Yahweh. Remember the house of Yahweh. In the last days, I will establish my house. It will teach Yahweh's way to all the nations. They will beat their swords into plowshares. Brothers, that's what we're doing here in these last days. That's our purpose. That's the attitude we should have, that attitude of servitude. Never forget that we have to first beat our swords into plowshares, you know, and bend our back and hold on to take the yoke and serve. Serve one another diligently. Have that attitude towards each other. You know, make ourselves slaves, as Pastor taught us over and over. Make yourself a slave to the people. Don't come to the feast and expect, well, I want to just do my own thing. But do what you're instructed to do. That's what we do. That's what there are probably many people who's not here right now in the sanctuary, but they're serving to make sure that others have food, to make sure that the road is fixed, to make sure that the sewer is not over leaking, so we don't have to smell that all throughout the feast. And this is what we do here at the house of Yahweh. We serve with the attitude of servitude, willfully, joyfully, coming here to the sanctuary, you know, not with a sour face, you know, oh, I gotta go work, you know, but with joy, wanting to do this. It says here this is what Yahweh is doing for all of us, who is the greatest servant in all the universe. Yahweh, look at around you. Pastor started this years ago. He talked about, you know, going to the mailbox and only meeting no mail, and then he met four letters in there. And I couldn't imagine how he felt at that time. I mean, to see what the house of Yahweh came to in just a few years because of people serving, I'd encourage each and every one of us, to develop the attitude. Develop that attitude of servitude, true love. Make yourself a slave in obedience to what we are taught. And serve. And serve one another. Don't work for the riches of this world, which will wither, but serve our kingdom and endure.
Well, it hasn't been asked yet, so what day of the Omar is it? Okay, and at this time, it's my privilege and honor to be able to present to you Son of Israel Abel, Great Deacon Yaakov Hawkins.
Shabbat Shalom, everyone. Shalom, everyone. You may be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. Today, I'll be speaking on a few numbers relating to Yahshua's memorial. Now, in the 12th book of Yisrael, part 1, chapter 26, verse 79, it says, Yahweh said, the books are closed and sealed, which means you can't understand it. And of course, Daniel looked down, and he saw the time of the two witnesses. But he didn't understand what he was seeing. And then One of them talked to him. He didn't understand that. He didn't understand the numbers that that person gave. And we're about to give that now. We're about to give those numbers and how they actually play, they come into play with this plan of Yahweh that was created before the earth was. Because Yahweh, in his mind, this being can look into the future, lay it out on the sea of glass where others can see it, other of his leaders and his informers. They can see this thing. So we're going to be going over a few numbers that, remember, Daniel didn't understand. He didn't understand the things he was seeing, but they were prophecies about what's going to occur in these last days. Now, first, Yeshua's memorial is right here, 421. This is the fourth Roman month of April, the 21st day. That's 421. That was Yeshua's memorial. Now, so we looked up number 421 in the Strong's. Number 421, and it means to wail. All right? The definition is to wail. Now, in the Strong's Exhaustive Concordance, it means to bewail or to lament. Now, if you remember, in Luke, the women there that were with Yeshua during his lifetime were wailing over him when he died. Let's turn to Luke 23. Luke 23. That's found on page 810. Luke 23, starting on verse 26. That's actually on page 811. Luke 23, verse 26. And it says, Now as they led him away, they seized one Simon, a Cyrenian, coming out of the country. And they laid the stake upon him, that he might carry it behind him. And a large crowd of people followed him, including women who also mourned and lamented him. But Yeshua, turning toward them, said, Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For behold, the days are coming in which it will be said, blessed are the barren, the wombs that never bore, and the breasts which never nursed. Now, so you see, this number here, number 421 in the Hebrew, is describing what occurred the night of Yeshua's memorial. Now, it leads to Strong's Hebrew 422, all right? And it means to swear or to curse. It means to swear, curse, oath. Now get that word there, oath, put under an oath, swearing, takes an oath. You have under an oath or uttered a curse. Now let's turn to Yochanan Mark. Now remember, we renew our oaths during Yeshua's memorial. In Yochanan Mark 14, that's found on page 777. Now, Yochanan Mark 14, and we'll start on verse 71. Yochanan Mark 14, we'll start on verse 71. It says, then he began to call down a curse upon himself and to swear. Now, this is talking about Yeshua, where Kepha denies Yeshua. If you see the subtitle there, And Yeshua had already said that you would deny me three times before the rooster crowed. And so in verse 71, after he had denied Yeshua, it says, then he began to call down a curse upon himself and to swear, I don't know the man you are talking about. And then, the cock crowed the second time. Then Kepha called to mind this word that Yeshua said to him, before the cock crows twice, you will deny me three times. And when he thought about this, he wept. So you see that that's relating to the word there to swear or to curse. Now, that page number 777, this is talking about the arrest of Yeshua, of Yeshua Messiah. Now remember, that was also the time where Pastor Yishel Hawkins, in these last days, had the gold flake vision. I have here from the seventh book of Yisrael, part 1, chapter 24, verse 4 to 5. It says, today is 777. 777. 777. That should be something. Somebody tell me if you can. Now this morning I had the first vision I've ever had that I know of. It was a real vision. I woke up somewhere between 3 and 4. I think it was closer to 4. And I got up for a few minutes. I went back to bed. I wasn't sleepwalking. I was fully awake. But I went back to bed and I was looking out of the west window, thinking about today's sermon. And all of a sudden, you've seen snowflakes, how they fall slowly and at an angle, from maybe the south to the north or north to the south, but at an angle. Well, it wasn't falling. Well, it wasn't falling, but it wasn't snow. It was gold. They were gold flakes. It wasn't a dream now. I could see it really, really real. And it was gold flakes falling. And I laid there watching them, and I was amazed. But I don't know what it means. I just don't know what it means. I know gold surely doesn't fall from the sky. And I don't think I could have seen if it, even if it was, but it was dark. But in the dark, I could see gold flakes falling. Now remember, this sign, after we had looked it up, it meant that that we were being perfected. We were about to go into a test. And if you remember, 7 months later, Pastor was arrested. But here on page number 777 in the book of Yahweh, this is where Yeshua Messiah was arrested. And we have to remember not to deny him. As Kepha denied Yeshua here, we have to remember not to deny Pastor. Now, also in the Strong's, back to the Strong's, it had the word oath. As you see there, number 422, oath. Now, the word oath from the online dictionary, it means a solemn promise, often invoking a divine witness regarding one's future action or behavior. Then you see there vow, pledge, or promise. Now, remember, at Yeshua's memorial, we renew our vows to Yeshua. And we have to remember not to deny him. We deny Yeshua by not keeping our vows. Remember those vows that we made at baptism. And remember also one of the great women in the house of Yahweh went over those vows. And that was an awesome job they did during the feast, wasn't it? Praise Yahweh. So remember those vows, the vows we made. If you turn to Titus, Titus 1, Titus 1 and verse 16, it says, they profess that they knew Yahweh, but by their works they deny him, being abominable, disobedient, and to every righteous work reprobate. So we see there, we don't only deny him verbally like Kepha did, saying that you don't know him, but we deny Yeshua by our works. What we do, if we break our vows, then we're denying Yeshua. Now, also, it's word number 423, an oath. The definition there is an oath. Then it leads then to the Greek, 421 in the Greek. It means something that cannot be traced out, incomprehensible, that cannot be explored, or incomprehensible. Now, that was the definition and the short definition. Now, it leads to number 2481. That's Greek, Strong's Greek, 2481. It means a track or footstep, a track, footstep. Now, if you turn to 1 Kepha, in here, later on, it has 1 Kepha 2, verse 21. Let's go there. 1 Kepha 2, verse 21. That's found on page 958. 1 Kepha 2, 21. And it says, For to this you were called, to do righteousness. This is why we're here, to do righteousness. Because for this, doing righteousness, Messiah also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps. Now this is following Yeshua's steps. And remember not to deny Yeshua. Now also, if we go to Romans 4, verse 12, it says, that's found on page 876, Romans 4, verse 12, it says, and he is also the father of the circumcised, who not only are circumcised, but who also walk in the footsteps of the faith that our father Abraham had before he was circumcised. So you see there, to follow his footsteps. And remember, it says, Abraham was a friend of Yahweh. All right? And we can be called a friend of Yahweh too, if we follow his footsteps. Now, it leads to the Strong's Greek 2240. It means, I have come, I'm present. I have come, I'm present, have arrived. It also means to be present. That's for Yeshua's memorial. You have to be here to renew your vows. It means to come, comes, had come, has come, and have come. It also means to come upon one of things to be endured as evils or calamitous times. Now let's go to Matthew 23:36. Matthew 23:36. That's found on page 752. And it says, truly I say to you, all these things will come upon this generation. Now, in the later part of that, and in Matthew 24, we see what's going to come in this generation. We have the nuclear bombs that started in 1934, also the invention of the computer, which was in 1934, and also the birth of Yisrael Hawkins, which was in 1934. And that was this generation. And you see later on, things we have to endure that will come upon us in this generation. Now, it also means that to you that many will come from the east, that many shall come from the east. Now, Pastor has went into great detail explaining to us what that meant. In the 8th book of Yisrael, part 1, chapter 29, verse 82, it says, verse 2, "And I saw another Malach ascending from the east." Notice, from the east. If he's ascending from the east, he's going west. Then we tie this in with other prophecies, as we see where the house of Yahweh was established, west of the original work, which was Abel. Israel brought to Abel, Texas. And that's where we are now, Abilene, Texas. Also in the seventh book of Israel, part 1, chapter 7, verse 67, it says, "For as the light will depart from the east," that is, the laws of righteousness will depart from the east, and thus revelation and truth. The light is the truth, the laws and prophecies of Yahweh. Also, in the sixth book of Yisrael, chapter 33, verse 52, it says, "For as the light will depart from the east," that is, the light of Yahweh, "the laws and prophecies of Yahweh will come from the witness in the west." And then the last one, the 10th book of Yisrael, part 1, chapter 14, verse 89, it says, "I will gather you from the west, for I am with you. I will bring your seed from the east and gather you from the west." This is what they call west. We're standing in it right here. If you put that together with the other prophecies, now concerning Abilene and Israel, if you go straight west from Abilene and Israel, you'll come to the door of the house of Yahweh in Abilene, Texas. Praise Yahweh. So if you go straight from Abilene, Israel, all the way here, coming from the east, that means you're going west, you'll come straight here to Abilene, Texas. So remember, keep these things in your mind. Not to deny Yahshua. Remember, we deny him by breaking our vows. Now that's all the time I have, so if y'all please stand. I'll turn it over to Son of Yishalabel, Deacon Yishai.
Great job for you, great job there, Deacon. Shabbat Shalom, great saints of Yahweh. This is really exciting. Y'all may be seated. The apple of Yahweh's eye, the kings and queens of the house of Yahweh, the kingdom of Yahweh. What a precious sight to be able to stand before you this day. You are a special treasure to Father Yahweh. My name is Deacon Yashadai Hawkins, and my title is In the Beginning, Here and Now, and Forever, Righteousness Prevails. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians on page 887. I really love this scripture. I'm going to go over the power and wisdom of Yahweh. Okay, I love this scripture because the Apostle Shaul shows that Yahweh is the only source of power. He's reasoning with these schools of higher learning and explaining the power and wisdom of Yahweh. Let's start with verse 2. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, "To the called out ones of Yahweh who are at Corinth, to those who are sanctified in Yahshua Messiah, called as saints, and all those in every place who call upon the name of Yahweh, our Savior, both theirs and ours, love and peace to you from Yahweh our Father and Yahshua Messiah our King." Now go to verse 18. The power and wisdom of Yahweh. "For the message of the sacrifice is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of Yahweh. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent." And jump down to 21. "For when the world with all its earthly wisdom failed to know Yahweh, It pleased Yahweh by the foolishness of preaching to save those who believe. So the Apostle Shaul is making a point here. In no way Yahweh has anything to do with foolishness, but he's making a point. He's making a comparison here because the schools of higher learning and all of their earthly wisdom, they can't even touch Yahweh at all in any of their ways. For we preach Yahshua sacrifice. Well, for the Yadayim, verse 22, require a sign in the Greek, seek after wisdom. For we preach Yahshua sacrifice to the Yadayim, a stumbling block, and to the Greeks, foolishness. But to those who are called, you are called, great saints, you are called, house of Yahweh, both Yadayim and Greek, Yahshua Messiah is the power of Yahweh. That finishing work of Genesis 1:26, being made in the image and likeness, the same character as Father Yahweh and the wisdom of Yahweh. So Yahshua is the power of Yahweh and the wisdom of Yahweh. For the foolishness of Yahweh is wiser than men, and the weakness of Yahweh is stronger than men. And verse 27, but Yahweh has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and Yahweh has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And Yahweh is faithful to deliver his house, great saints of Yahweh. It is a beautiful and awesome plan that we are here this day at this great feast. This is our hope. This is our hope. Our eyes see and our ears hear. We are the finishing work. This is the power of Yahweh to obtain this righteous character, this powerful moral character that Yahweh is preaching to us, and we are learning what to teach and then teach what we have learned. We are the most important work throughout all history to Yahweh. Righteousness prevails, and we become holy as Yahweh through this righteousness, keeping of Yahweh's laws and loving Yahweh's laws, which is holiness. And our high priest at the right hand of Yahweh, he is beholding Yisrael. He is beholding our pastor, and he is guiding, leading and guiding this work. Yahweh's power is his attributes, not might or military force, but this mercy and this forgiveness that is given to us through the message and ministry of reconciliation. Yahweh is changing our hearts and minds through this Peaceful Solution Character Education Program. He is showing us the way and the way to the light. And so our example, when our hearts and minds are changed, our example will manifest as the sons and daughters of Yahweh. He who practices righteousness is righteous just as Yahweh is righteous. And I want to share this scripture with you in 2 Chronicles, if you'll turn to page 358, 2 Chronicles, page 358 in chapter 7, because at one point in time, I didn't know if I was going to make it to the house of Yahweh. I always desired to be here, and I didn't know if I was going to make it here, and I read this scripture. I humbled myself, and I read this scripture in verse 14, if my people who are called with my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sins and heal their land. And Yahweh is forgiving our sins as we repent and convert. We confess and we convert and we practice righteousness. Verse 15, now my eyes will be open and my ear will hear the prayers from this place. So rest assured, Yahweh hears the prayers from this place. His eyes and ears are here. Verse 16, follow with me. For now I have chosen and sanctified this house. He has chosen and sanctified this house, so my name may be there forever. And my eyes and my heart will be there perpetually. At the appointed times, at the feast days, at the ordained weekly Sabbaths and feast days, these eternal appointments. Okay? These eternal appointments. And I just want to encourage everyone that this time period, this has not been offered to any other group of people. And this, Yahweh will not forsake this work. He is going to make sure that this work succeeds Turn with me over to Isaiah 54. Isaiah 54. In verse 17, I love this scripture, and I asked Father Yahweh, I said, please help me be a blessing to your people, to your holy people. Help me to be able to bring this message so that I can encourage and strengthen your people. And in verse 17, it says, no weapon that is formed against you, no weapon that is formed against you will succeed, House of Yahweh. No weapon that is formed against this work will succeed. And every tongue that will rise against you in judgment, you will condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of Yahweh. This is our inheritance. And their righteousness is from me, says Yahweh. He is giving a confirmation here. He is giving a confirmation that the righteousness that is kept in this house is from him. It is from Father Yahweh. Trust Yahweh. Trust Father Yahweh. In Proverbs 14:23, for your notes, and all labor there is gain. This work is not in vain. Yahweh is in full control. And he will not forsake this work. He definitely will not forsake this work. And in Proverbs 16:3, for your notes, commit your works to Father Yahweh, and your thoughts will succeed, because Yahweh knows the heart and the mind of his people. So stand strong, hold fast. My family, my beloved family, hold fast. This is our labor of love. This is our labor of love. And as the gates of hell miserably fail, Yahweh's righteousness prevails. Praise Yahweh. Yahweh bless you all. Enjoy the rest of your feast. If you all please stand for the next speaker.
Shalom, great saints of Yahweh. You may be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. My name is Deacon Malachi Hawkins, and the title of my speech is Reverence Yahweh. And I'm going to show you today the importance of reverencing Father Yahweh. It is the beginning of showing respect to the authority figures, becoming the teacher, helping teach the young men, guiding them up to value respect, to value one another. It is the care and concern and consideration that is being taught and brought forth from the Peaceful Solution Character Education Program. So let's start with the first step, deep respect. So if we can, let's be turning over to Proverbs 1. Proverbs 1, and it's verse 7 on page 496. Page 496. And it says, the reverence of Yahweh is the beginning. It's the beginning. Remember Genesis 1. It's all a part of the great Father Yahweh plan. The reverence of Yahweh is the beginning, the first requirement, the chief part of knowledge and wisdom, knowledge of wisdom, the peaceful solution. Only fools, inwardly, morally perverse, turning from Father Yahweh, turning from Yahweh, turning from what is right, despise wisdom and instructions. They don't want to accept the peaceful solution. They don't understand what it means to reverence. They don't understand what reverencing is. So we're going to talk a little more about this deep respect, this being honoring, being submissive to the one set, placed over us, above us. And I know at times it's real hard for us to accept that correction, but we can do it. All we have to do is submit ourselves and listen at the ones placed above us. So if we can be turning over to the book of Deuteronomy, the book of Deuteronomy, page 152, chapter 6, verse 13, Deuteronomy 6:13. And it says, Yahweh your Father you must reverence, and him you must serve, and by his name we must take our oaths. So that is a command. We are commanded to reverence the great heavenly Father Yahweh. We are commanded to serve, to be servants to one another. And reverencing Yahweh is about servicing one another, about being servants to one another. I think about like when we have men's cleanup night, and it's a great time of great fellowship with the brothers. And we walk around rejoicing, reverencing one another, encouraging the young men to show them what it means to reverence one another by serving. We have the, praise Yahweh, the different areas we do when we do the cleanup. And we have different names for individuals. We have the water man. I'm the water man. We have the water man brother. We have the towel man. We have the sweeping man, and the great con Matithia is the man to make sure everything goes straight. So we are running him crazy, but it's all about reverencing Yahweh, and I really enjoy it. And what helped me, what brought me to this title is I love dealing with the young men. They really helped me to realize what reverencing is. It's a great Kohan from South Carolina who've been walking with me for years, helping me to really understand my full potential. And when I moved here, I always wanted to teach. You know, I'm still in training to become a teacher, to reverence Yahweh, to help teach everybody, to learn how to reverence Yahweh. And I got involved with the young men. And I realized the importance. I didn't fully understand the reverence of Yahweh until I was going to the school and I realized how important it is for me to set a righteous example for the young man and reverencing them and reverencing the priests because they are learning from me. So I can't say and teach them, I can't say one thing and do another. So, praise Yahweh. So, I look up to the young men as well. And this service, we know that serving Father Yahweh, you know, serving one another is what we are here to do. And that's part of the reverence in the great heavenly Father Yahweh, is serving one another. But we need to find out where we need to go and how we should reverence great heavenly Father Yahweh at the house of Yahweh. So we are to seek. If you can be turning with me to Deuteronomy 12:5 on page 157. And we are to go to the place to seek great heavenly Father Yahweh, his habitation, the tree of life. And there we go, and we learn from the one set over us, the authority figure set over us, on how we should be, how we should conduct ourselves. And, I mean, it's a great thing because the pattern have already been set. And if we follow the pattern, we will learn how to reverence Father Yahweh even more. And we are not to do as we want to do when we come here. We got to do as the priest explained to us to do with the wisdom coming forth from their mouths. And if we can now, so we know we got to go to the house to seek Father Yahweh to learn how to reverence great heavenly Father Yahweh. And then we go to Deuteronomy 17:9 for your notes. Deuteronomy 17:9. And then we go to the priest for the wisdom and the understanding. And they give us that wisdom. And just for your notes, I just want to, you know, quote this. When we go to the priest, the lips of righteousness feed many. And that's the reverence of Yahweh. And that's, again, helping us to understand the reverence of Yahweh. We don't want to do, you know, talk down on one another, put each other down. We want to really lift each other up, inspire each other, lead each other on towards righteousness. Look forward to seeing each other at the gate, at the buffalette, on duty, whatever it is we're doing. You know, that's part of the lips of the righteousness feed many. And you know, and fools die from a lack of wisdom, and we're not trying to die for a lack of wisdom. So, at this time, I would like for everybody to be turning over to Ecclesiastes, page 525. Ecclesiastes, page 525. And it's chapter 12, verse 13. This is my conclusion to it all. This is the conclusion to it all. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Reverence Yahweh by obeying keeping his laws, for this is the whole duty of man. I mean, I really couldn't get into everything. I'm still in training. This is not like me teaching Skype. I'm standing up in front of the whole universe. So just bear with me. My priest will line me out. But I would like to share with you something that helps me. I wake up in the morning and I have different things around my dwelling that I look at that inspire me to keep going, because I'm a man, I don't really get a lot of rest. I stay up thinking a lot and working a lot. And so when I do, if I can get an hour and a half, 2 hours of rest, you know, sometimes you lag around, you drag around, and I'm listening at the sermons, and I'll start looking around at the different reminders I have around my dwelling. And one of my most liked ones are the 22 positive pillars, 22 positive traits of a pillar. And I will encourage everybody to try to get a copy of those positive pillars, and just read them to yourself and learn them and rehearse them. And this is a great teaching tool that will help us to reverence great Heavenly Father Yahweh. I don't know if you can see them. I don't know how to work the lens. But thank you, great saints of Yahweh, for your time. And we'll get better. Yahweh bless. And I'd like to turn it over to the next speaker. Shalom.
Shabbat shalom, everyone. You may be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. My name is Deacon Kumaya Hawkins, and today I'm going to be talking about diamonds and the job that Yahweh has called us out to do at this time. Just a little bit, before I get into that, a great priest one time told me, Satan is a great counterfeiter. I said, you know something, Con? Yeah, you're right. In the world today, Satan has people believing that diamonds are a girl's best friend. But what I'm going to do today is show you that the truth. The truth is that diamonds are Yahweh's best friend. Let me give you a few interesting facts about diamonds. First and foremost, diamonds are the most endurable stone. Hint, hint. Endurable stone, the most lasting stone. Most lasting, forever. Oh, Yahweh is awesome. Diamonds are formed in a specific area of the earth. A specific area, you know, like Abel. Oh, Yahweh. It's called a mantle. That's where diamonds are formed at. And, of course, when I realized that, I said, well, I got to find out what a mantle is. So I pulled out the dictionary, Merriam-Webster dictionary. And, of course, you know, it's no surprise, no coincidence. Father Yahweh is in full control, and he shows his power. How? By the extreme details that he puts into everything that he puts his hands to do. Here's the first definition of mantle. A loose piece of clothing without sleeves that was worn over clothes, especially in the past. Oh, you know, like back to the basics. Oh, Yahweh. Here's the second thing. Something that covers, that surrounds. Now remember, this is where a diamond is formed, in the mantle. Something that covers and surrounds. I know right now there are like tons of scriptures going through your heads, right, Great House of Yahweh? Huh? We have great teachers that have us well seasoned. Well, here's number three, and this one here, I don't know if I'm going to be able to contain myself. You know, I'm like Abba. No, I'm like Abba, and I pray that I won't cry, but if I do, please, you know, forgive me. The position of someone who has responsibility and authority. Who is that? Who is the mantle that forms the diamonds? It's no other than Pastor Yisra Abel Hawkins, right, Great House of Yahweh? Cut it out. Huh. So here's some information I got from genealogy.com. It's the formation of diamonds requires very high temperatures. 2,000 degrees. You know, high temperatures, the refining fire. It's obvious we're in the last days, the last minutes, the last seconds. So the refining fire has been turned up on us, right? I mean, we were warned about it. It's not a surprise. Feels more like 5,000, not 2,000, but it's no surprise to us. And very high pressure. High pressure. Extreme pressure. And I know, great saints, that we're all feeling that. Every single one of us. That's one thing that we're in unity with. We're feeling the pressure. This whole topic was inspired by a sermon that Pastor gave many years ago. And, you know, I really would encourage you all to write this down, to go back and to listen to it. I have listened to this sermon literally for over a month and a half. Every day, because there's just so much information in there. It's 8/19/95, and the title of it is Falling Back into the Methods. Here in this sermon, let me give it one more time. 8/19/95, and the title is Falling Back into the Methods. And if you don't have it, I'll tell you where you can get it from. South office, where our great sisters work diligently. Remember Pastor said, even if you don't have the title, they'll find it for you. You know, Yahweh provides everything that we need. So here Pastor speaks about diamonds. This is what he says. He says, diamonds, that is what Yahweh compares the 12 tribes of Israel to, from which he gets the 144,000 priesthood that will rule the universe. The 144,000 priesthood that will rule the universe. What I would like everyone in here to do right now is to just look next to you, look around you. Behold the diamonds of Yahweh, the special treasure. When Yahweh gets up here, Pastor Yisrael Abel Hawkins, look at his face. Look at the shine on his face. That's the way he looks at you. And that's my purpose today, is for you to look at each other that way, as diamonds. Yahweh speaks as if it's already done. Don't look at a person when they make a mistake. We're overcoming, right? Everyone in here is overcoming. There's no one perfect right now, right? Well, look at us as what Yahweh sees us, as diamonds, his special treasure. We're pastors' special treasure. He doesn't prove it. He proves it over and over. Every time he gets up here, every time you see him out in the field, if you get to see him, because he's working for his special treasure. Yeshua, working for his special treasure. That's what we are, and that's what we need to look at each other and identify each other as. Kings, queens, princes, and princesses. So when somebody steps on your toes, somebody makes you feel bad, remember that they're diamonds. Remember that they're kings, they're queens, they're princes and princesses. We're all working hard. There's not one person in here that's not trying to overcome. Pastor said that. Well, you got to believe it. And the way you show that you believe, Pastor, is by treating that other person like a special treasure. Praise Yahweh. Matthew 6:21 on page 732. If we all could turn there. This is what I would like everyone to focus on and to understand. Matthew 6:21 on page 732. That's what it says. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be. Your treasure, your brothers, your sisters, your children. That's your treasure. Treat it that way. Treat them that way as a treasure. Yahweh has done a great work, and he's not finished. He's not finished with us. But I want to remind everybody our job. And I'm just, again, repeating what Pastor said in this sermon. He said, this is our job. This is what we were called out to do. To be compassionate, loving, kind, merciful. exhorting our fellow man or woman in all the ways of Yahweh. In all the ways of Yahweh. Merriam-Webster Dictionary says, to exhort is to try to influence by words or advice, to strongly urge someone to do something or to stay in the ways of Yahweh. Don't tear them down. Our job is to exhort, to lift each other up. When your brother steps on your toe, your sister steps on your toe, be easy to forgive. Remember that they're a special treasure. Make them your special treasure. Did you know that diamonds are cut by diamonds? Interesting how that works, right? It goes back to right exactly what I was just saying. Yahweh's diamonds are forming diamonds. That's our job. Exhort, help, and encourage with kindness and gentleness. That's our job. That's what we're called to do. And I'm telling you, I mean, when I do it, oh, it lifts me up, you know. Men know me as crying a lot, but it's the joy. It's the joy that I feel when I exhort my brothers, when I see them. I miss them. I love them. You know, this is the greatest family in the world, a family that I never had. So I want to encourage everyone, you know, remember who we are. We're special treasures to Yahweh. Every single one of us, we're special treasures. And just remember this. Diamonds, they're forever. And if it's not forever, house of Yahweh? That's right. Praise Yahweh. May Yahweh bless your understanding. I love you, each and every one of you. Keep, continue enjoying your feast. With that, I want to turn it over to the next speaker. Yahweh bless.
Shalom. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. You may be seated. The title I'm going to bring forth today is along with the theme of the house of Yahweh, and the title is, Where Righteousness Dwells, the Gates of Hell Will Not Prevail. And I'm going to break it down a little bit more. We all know these things, but just to instill this knowledge and information within us and help us to grow faster and hold on to it, we're going to start with righteousness. The where would also be brought forth in this. And we done went over this many times, but if you would, please turn to Deuteronomy 6:25 on page 153, which is the perfect definition of the word righteousness. And it says, Deuteronomy 6, verse 25 says, and it will be our righteousness if we observe to do all of this law before Yahweh our Father as he has commanded us. In that scripture, there's a word do. And the word do, as we know, is an action word. So it's observed to do. That means put into practice. And there's a sermon that was written 32407. That's 32407. And it gives the definition of the word do. And the word do means accomplish, bear, carry the burden of the weak ones, to bring forth, industrious, to prepare, to have charge of, work, workmen, to commit, to deal with, hold a feast, and maintain. And so this is what part of the word do represents, as in what we're to do with Yahweh's laws as we provide them in our lives. Also, there's another scripture I like you to turn to, and that's 1 Jochanan 3, verse 7. And that's on page 965. 1 Jochanan 3, verse 7. And it reads, little children, let no man deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he is righteous. He is Yahweh. And it says, practice righteousness. And when we practice righteousness, just like anything else that we do that we want to get better at, we continue to do it. That's what practice is. That's putting it in our lives. That's applying it as the teachers are brought forth. And we have perfect examples brought forth to us of men who practice righteousness and followed in that example. Of course, words, you know, they say a lot. You know, they have strong meaning. They can be powerful. But actions establish the matter. And so the examples I would like to use is the example of our great king and high priest, Yahshua Messiah. It says when his family came looking for him, you know, when he went traveling or whatever, when they finally found him, what did they say to him? Where you been? And what did he say? I have been about my Father's business. I've been doing my Father's work. I have to be about that. And he didn't just say that. You know, that was also in his actions what he done. You know, the whole time that he was on earth bringing forth Yahweh's message. And even now in these last days as he sits at the right hand of Yahweh as the prince, guiding this work, what is he still doing? He's still doing this work as Yahweh said he would do. You know, and even Yahweh told him, you know, behold the branch. And who's the branch? We know that's our pastor and overseer, right? So he's still doing that work, even at the right hand of Yahweh, because him is bringing forth us as well. As we're the body, so he's guiding that body. And as the brother spoke before me, he said, the diamonds, he is molding us. He is guiding us. And that's what pastor is doing as well. And Yahweh said, I will put into your mouth these words, and you will tell them whether they will listen or whether they will not. And, you know, the words that he brought forth to us, you know, some people left when they heard about, you know, when pastor said that the nuclear bombs, you know, the wars would start at this day. Well, most people left. You know why they left? Because they didn't really believe in the one cent. Because in the world, we have a fabricated mindset of what the, you know, Christian world has taught us to believe. And one example is they told us that, you know, actual snake talked to Eve in the garden. You know, not that it was a beastly governmental system that she was being trained by, but that it was an actual snake. So for years, we believed this until we came where? To the house of Yahweh, the pillar and ground of the truth. And this information was brought forth, praise Yahweh, to help us to be able to understand what the true scripture said. So we have a full meaning, so we're no longer be deceived, so we're no longer tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. That's why we have a witness today bringing forth this message and teaching us to keep Yahweh's laws, so that we may grow closer together in unity with one another. And once again, like I said, when he said that, you know, the birth of the nuclear baby would be this date, people left. You know, because they thought, as Pastor even said on the sermon, that we didn't see the bombs come out right away. Well, he didn't say that. He told us earlier, too, what? Wars start with words. So therefore, that was already started. But for those who didn't believe, later on, there was articles that came out that showed that, you know, the nuclear war had started. But Yahweh loved us, and he said we wasn't ready. So therefore, what did he do? He held it back. Praise Yahweh. And once again, back to my title, Righteousness Dwells, we're going to look at the word dwell. And if you would, please turn to Psalm 91, verse 1. Which is on page 470. And we'll be reading verse 1. And this comes from the sixth book of Yisrael, chapter 15, verse 13, is where, you know, this verse is going to be broken down. And it's broken down by a pastor. Once again, that's the sixth book of Yisrael, chapter 15, verse 113. It says, I was just handed the correct translation of Psalm 91, verse 1. Let me read this to you. Psalm 91, verse 1. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High will abide under the shadow of the Almighty. The word dwells is listed on page 699 of the Hebrew Aramaic Dictionary by Marcus Jastrow. A Hebrew and Chaldee lexicon to the Old Testament by Julius First shows this word means able. So this verse actually reads, he who dwells at Abel in the secret place of the Most High will abide under this shadow of protection of Yahweh Almighty. And for those of you that have your books of Yahweh open to Psalm 91 verse 1, if you look at the side note B, it gives a definition, it gives a meaning, a center of reference of the word secret place. Secret place means protected place. And it also gives a couple scriptures, Psalm 27 verse 2 through 5 and Micaiah 4 verse 1. And of course, you know, Micaiah 4 verse 1 goes with Isaiah 2:2, the mountain promotion of the house of Yahweh will be established in the chief nation of the nation in these last days. So this is telling us what this secret place is. And if you turn over, please, to Psalm 27 verse 5, which is a few pages back on page 443. And we'll be reading verse 4 and 5. Verse 4 says, one thing we desired of Yahweh, that we will seek after all the days of our lives, that we may dwell in the house of Yahweh, to see your beauty and to inquire of you in your sanctuary. And this where we at? We're in the sanctuary, in the house of Yahweh, great saints. In the time of trouble, you will hide us. And the word hide means to guard and defend from anyone, even from the adversary. So we know they can't come against us because we have Yahweh's protection for us. It says, once again, in the time of trouble, you will hide us in your pavilion, in your house, in the secret place. You will hide us. You will set us high upon a rock. So back to my title, where righteousness dwells, the gates of hell will not prevail. Where? In the house of Yahweh at Abilene, where the laws of Yahweh are taught, righteousness will not prevail. And great saints, you know, as we are here studying Yahweh's words and learning, you know, we're keeping Yahweh's feast. We're putting it into practice because we're here at Yahweh's feast, aren't we? Praise Yahweh. So we're keeping his laws. We found the place where his name was, and we're doing the work. We're at the feast. We're trying to come together in unity with one another and to overcome. And so there was a song, a CD that was brought forth at the Feast of Tabernacles that the sisters brought forth, and it says, one talent is better than nothing. And if Yahweh gives it and he blesses it, it will grow. And Yahweh gives me a talent that I like to use to try to express, you know, my love for my brothers and to help exhort them to stand fast and grow in unity with Yahweh. So as the title of my sermon, Where Righteousness Dwells, I wrote a poem also. And the title of the poem, as you know, is Where Righteousness Dwells. Where righteousness dwells, the gates of hell will not prevail. Where righteousness dwells is a place of peace. It's a place of unity where true saints will surely be. It's the place we are at the house of Yahweh, the pillar and ground of the truth reestablished in these last days, to change hearts and minds from confusion to understanding, through tests and trials, holding fast and withstanding, in our place and getting the work done, bringing forth the men, Yahweh's anointed ones, Yahshua the Messiah and Israel the witness, from the teachings of love, Yahweh's spiritual fitness, bonded and tethered by the laws of peace, a pattern brought forth that will never ever cease. The world may fight in war, yet to no avail, because this foundation here will never ever fail. It's established by Yahweh, balanced and weighed on the scales as the place of protection and where righteousness dwells. Praise Yahweh. And great saints, as we continue to grow forward in righteousness and continue to hold fast, we need to know. So if you would, I would like you to repeat after me. On the count of three, this is the place where righteousness dwells and the gates of hell will not prevail. On the count of three, where righteousness dwells, the gates of hell will not prevail. Praise Yahweh, and I thank you for your time, and I turn it over to the next speaker.
Shalom, you may be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. It's a pleasure to speak before the called out ones of the house of Yahweh. The title of what I'll be speaking on today will be The Universe is Our Next Assignment. This is to remind us of the great job that Yahweh has set before us. If we endure to the end, brothers and sisters, if we endure to the end and overcome and gain eternal life. Now, in these last days, we have seen many events that have taken place in the heavens, in the clouds. And it's interesting to us now because we know that these events have foretold, they were foretold long ago, but they were not discovered until these last days because it was set for the house of Yahweh to bring them forth and tell us what they mean, the meaning of them. Now, the study of astronomy is a science, and it's been something that I've been interested in all my life as well. And we know that Pastor has mentioned it many times. He has mentioned it in his sermons. And let me quote that for you from the Yisrael Says program. It says in the 13th book of Yisrael, part 1, chapter 18, verse 38. He says, "Now when I study astronomy, I took a course in astronomy because I saw the importance of it. And I wanted to learn it." Now, if Pastor says he saw the importance of it, he wanted to learn it, it must be important. I myself, when I was in school and college, I pursued the same career in astronomy, but I took the course, and I was glad the pastor had mentioned that because I knew that I didn't know at the time, of course, that there was an importance of it in Yahweh's creation. Now, I know that at the same time that my life went in a different route, and Yahweh didn't want me there, because if I were to continue, for a fact, that I would know that I for sure I would not be here this day speaking before you. Now, how many times have you heard of a brother and sister tell us, well, when we get to Yahweh's kingdom, my plan is going to be this big, okay? Or my plan is going to have all cold weather. Well, you got to think about it. You know, Yahweh has created his creation in a pattern, in a certain way. And I believe we must follow that pattern. Yahweh created the cold weather for a reason, even though I don't like it. Yeah. And it's another thing that I enjoy very much is Yahweh's new moons. It's a time that I would get upset if I get here late. I would get upset if somebody found the moon before me. But I understand it's Yahweh's laws, and anybody's entitled to looking for a new moon and finding it, not just me. Now, brethren, let me show you something. You know, the galaxies, the stars, and planets is what awaits us, brother. If we overcome, if we endure to the end, if we endure to the end, Yahweh will grant us all these things. I have a few pictures here. This is the Carina Nebula. If you can see it, just look at the beauty of that. This is a place where stars are being born. Yahweh is creating them. But just look how beautiful it is. To me, that's just awesome. Yahweh's work. We're all familiar with this one, right? This is where Yahweh showed us the face of our great pastor and overseer, Yisrael Hawkins, and Yeshua Messiah as well, along with, you know, the opposition there, the Roman soldier. And you can go back and go over those sermons and remember what has been brought out on that. But that's the Horsehead Nebula. And you know, this nebula was discovered in 18, or at least recorded in 1888. But it wasn't until these last days that Yahweh provided the technology, the knowledge and understanding from Pastor to show us these images that we had not seen before, even though we have seen them before, but not the way it is in that picture. Now let me show you something. Astronomy, like all science, they take away the glory from Yahweh. But we in the house of Yahweh, we give it back to Yahweh. Now here's something that Pastor just brought out. He mentioned it in his last sermon, if you remember. Look at the title of this from energiainfo.com. Look at the title. It says, a giant galaxy orbiting our own just appear out of nowhere. Really? Okay. Listen to what they say to justify their ignorance. It says, researchers scanning the sky just got a big surprise. They spotted a humongous galaxy orbiting our own. So it's big. We already know it's big. Where none have been seen before. It appears seemingly out of nowhere. I mean, this is their own words. But here's the justification. So just how did the newly discovered, it's called Crater 2. Crater 2 managed to pull off this feat, like a deer leaping from the interstellar bushes to stare us down through our collective headlights. Okay, yeah, it just appeared, right? Although the appearance may seem sudden, the fact is that Crater 2 has always been there all along. We just missed it. Okay, so the article continues, it's a short article, but it continues and says that it's a huge galaxy and it's nearby, so they can't blame it on that. This is what they blame it on, why they missed it. They blame it on that it's not as luminous or bright, and there's brighter objects around it, neighboring it. So these are brighter objects were making it dimmer, therefore we couldn't see it. I'll tell them, you know, Yahweh just created it out of nowhere. He created something out of nothing. And another example, I don't know if you all heard a couple of months ago, maybe, gravitational wavelengths were discovered. What that is wavelengths that are created by large objects, for example, black holes created, but you can't see them. You have to detect them through technology. Now, these were predicted in 1916 by who else? Albert Einstein. Well, he's been dead for like 61 years, but he gets the credit. And that's why you know, studying science and astronomy, it's something that you need to pick and listen to what the House of Yahweh brings out, because if you get into it, it clashes with what we believe. We believe in a creation. We don't believe in you know, the evolution and the Big Bang. And that's where, you know, if you, like some of you that are into science, you'll find that it becomes hard sometimes. Now look at this picture right here. This is the Sombrero Nebula, for obvious reasons. Looks like a sombrero. Now listen to some of the facts. The Sombrero Galaxy. This galaxy has approximately 100 billion stars. You know, 100 billion stars. That's as many. According to the best estimates of astronomers, that's how many galaxies we can see in the observable universe. Now, that's a lot of work, brothers and sisters. Are you going to come with me? Right? I don't think I can do this by myself. Now, in conclusion, let me give you two scriptures that we'll go with what I've been speaking on right now. The first one is in Luke 21. Verse 28 to 27, it's on page 984. No, excuse me, not 984. It's on page 808. It's Luke 21, 27 to 28. And it says, And they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. So when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, because your redemption is near. These scriptures that we are very familiar with. And my second one is in Revelations 21. Verse 9 through 10. And there came one of the seven Malachim, who had seven bowls full of seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, "Come, I will show you the bride's lamb's wives." And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me that great city, the holy Yahweh Shammah, descending out of heaven from Yahweh. Yahweh Shammah descending out of heaven from Yahweh. With that, I'll turn it over to the next speaker.
Shalom, the great saints. Y'all may be seated. I'm the next speaker. My name is Deacon Sakia Graxton, and my topic is trespass. And we're going to start off with the online definition of the word trespass. Definition is the violation of moral and social ethics, an unwarranted infringement. The action, and the word infringement, and the definition for the word infringement is the actions of breaking the terms of a law, agreement, violation, and the act of limiting or undermining something. And we can see that what goes on in the world today. Limiting and undermining something, where some government is undermining another government. The government limiting the people and their rights, taking advantage of them. We can see the destruction that's going on in this world, all because of what? Trespass. Unwanted trespass at that, because they think they're helping out someone when they're actually hurting them. All because of what? They didn't ask. But if you go to Yochanan 14:2, that's on page 831. Once again, that's on page 831. Okay. And it says here, verse 2, it says, "In my Father's house are many mansions. And if it was not so, I would not have told you." Now, if you go down there to B, it tell you there is many offices. And then as you go to Ecclesiastes 5:1, and I'm going to paraphrase it a little bit and put it in a manner that I can understand it. "Come, let me bring you to my house so I can show you how to live. I'm going to give you this map that's going to govern your life and going to help you to maneuver through society. and how to interact with one another. So that way when you go out in society, you know how to watch your step, that you don't step on nobody's toes, that you don't run over nobody, that you don't accidentally hit somebody's wall and say, and then keep on going. Now, if you go over here to, if we go to Yakanan, to Yakov, that's on page 955, in chapter 4, verse 1, we can see what's going on here and what gives us a little clue of why things are going on. And it says, what causes these wars and fighting amongst you? Is it not this from the lust of the lust that battles in your own members? Let me back up a little bit and let me say that again. That battles in your own members. Oh, that's me. Okay. I'm fighting with myself on a daily basis. I got up this morning on the wrong side of the bed. I stumped my toe. So I'm going to take it out on somebody else. It's a war about to go on. Don't get me wrong. I don't mean no offense. But right now I'm in pain. And that don't always work that way. That's why he said, come, let me bring you to my house so I can give you this map. This map of life. This map is going to guide you through every little thing in your life that goes on a daily basis. Like one of the brothers said before, diamonds are forged from pressure. Well, in order to find that diamond mine, you need a map. So that's why he brought you here. Because where else can you find one of the best map makers in the world? Right here. Can't find no better map maker than here. He had it mapped out, laid out, and planned. And not only that, he gave you teachers to show you how to read your map. Now, I know that sometimes we call ourselves self-navigators, and we like to go in our own directions, and sometimes we don't even pay attention when somebody try to lead us back on the right path. Because we got this built-in map in our own head. Well, we see how that goes. We end up going 2 miles past our turn, or we have to go 2 miles back to get back on the right road to get to our destination. And see, this is why he brought us here. To show us how to read this map and how to use this map properly. And that map is called the People Solution Character Education Program. The only thing that we have not done yet is been able to make it in a fold-up compartment so where we can slip it in our back pocket and pull it out whenever we need it. But we will get to that. That's going to come. Because like the great brother said before us, once we learn how to maneuver that map and to learn how to read that map properly, then we can go to any place in the world and maneuver in their society with no problem. We will not infringe on them unintentionally. We will not limit their or oppress them in any way. We will teach and guide them in a proper manner and how to act on a daily basis. Why? Because we have the map, which is what the world don't have. That's why we are brought here today to learn how to read that map, how to use that map properly. Because like it said here in Yakov 4:1, first of all, the warring and battling is going on within our own selves. And once we learn how to deal with that and deal with ourselves and use the map to a flaw on ourselves, then the rest of the world will fall into place. Because it says on verse 2, it says, you lust, but you do not have. You murder and covet, but to obtain. Obtain what? You fight in war, yet you do not have because you do not ask. Because we do not ask. We have to be taught how to ask first. And you know, learn how to ask once you learn how to read that map properly. Because that's what that map will do. Yahweh don't even trespass upon Satan, and he owns everything. He didn't come and just yank you out of the world first. He waited till you was called. He waited till you was baptized. And then he talked to you. Did not trespass, not once. That's because he designed the map personally and know how well it works. And we are here today in this great house learning to read that map and to use that map. Because we have that map. We have great teachers teaching us how to use that map. Know when to turn. Know how to turn. So when we accidentally do run over somebody's toe, we can ask that, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to do that there. Are you okay? So that way no one gets offended. So just remember, great brothers and sisters, is that we are given a great opportunity, and we do have a map to live by. And this map teaches us how to drive on the highway, how to drive in the inner city, how to maneuver within the inner city, and how to maneuver within our own minds. Because our minds, and you can see the world today, their minds is also full of confusion. But if they had a map, they'd be able to guide their way up out of that confusion. And we are blessed and fortunate to have that. And if you keep that in mind and you hold on strong to that map and don't go by our own instruction or don't get caught up into that, go down to the left, hang a right at Joe's barbecue shop, then you see the big tree and you go straight, and then after that you make that left turn. Now you pull out that map instead. And you stay on that right path. So I'd like to thank y'all for y'all being here. And I'd like to bring up the next speaker. Praise Yahweh.
Shalom, great saints. Please be seated. We got a lot of work to do. Everyone enjoying the feast? Okay. All right. Today, the title of I'm Deacon Anthothea, glad and pleased to be a seed and son of Israel Hawkins. The title today is Consider These Things. You want to write that down. Consider these things. And I'm going to kind of focus a little bit on our health. My health too, not just yours. If you remember, please write this down in 1 Kings chapter 3, verses 7 to 8. Not going to go there, but write it down. It's found on page 276, 1 Kings. King Solomon is going to have a quiz at the end of this session too, so pay close attention. What makes King Solomon a wise man? He asks Yahweh for wisdom, knowledge, and understanding to guide It's great people. This same wisdom, knowledge, and understanding has come down to overseer and pastor Israel Hawkins in these last days to guide us and lead us in the way we should go. Brothers and sisters, today I'm going to pick two foods. I know everyone loves food, right? No? Okay, praise Yahweh. The two foods I want to talk about today, the first one will be our greens. And our beloved pastor in the second book of Israel, I'm going to read a direct quote, chapter 5, verse 62. He said, when I was a child, I used to, this is the second book of Israel, chapter 5, verse 62. When I was a child, I used to go out and pick wild greens. I kind of live in the woods a lot. I had an opportunity when I was growing up younger to be living in the woods for a short time myself. He said, you know, I love that calm feeling that I got from sitting there praying and eating off the land. If you please could turn to page 894, that would be 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And consider these things. Reading from verse 23. Are all things lawful? No, not all things are beneficial. Certainly cheeseburgers are fine, right? It's not unlawful to eat cheeseburgers. It's not unlawful to eat chocolate cake. But is it beneficial to only eat those things and not the other things that our body needs for the nutritional value and growth also? Okay. Not all things build up the house of Yahweh. This is why we need our pastor and overseer, Israel Abel Hawkins. Let no man seek his own, but each the other well-being. Each the other's well-being. That is serving one another. Serving each other. From all the aspect of the work that is available here in the great house of Yahweh that we can volunteer and be a part of and help pushing this work forward. That is why we are here. Okay? Keep that in mind. Everything is being sold that is being sold in the meat market, do not eat. Ask questions on account of your conscience. Our salvation depends on these things. Now, it's going to seem like we're going a little fast, but I'm just going to show a few slides really quickly and some of the vegetables and kind of go to some of the benefits. We got kale. We got spinach. Everyone likes spinach? Okay. Now, spinach has something called folic in it, or folic acid. Children, any one of you know what folic acid is? Could you go Walmart and buy some? I don't know. Well, it's a vitamin B complex, okay, that our body needs. And let's go there. Folic, a vitamin belonging to the vitamin B complex that is important in cell growth. It's very important in cell growth. It is found especially, guess what, in green leafy vegetables and fresh fruits. Lack of folic acid can cause anemia because it is necessary for the formation of red blood cells. So I got to think on, what is this anemia? Anemia is developed when you don't have enough robust, healthy red blood cells to help carry the oxygen throughout the body. So here we're seeing, consider these things, the importance of these food that we should be partaking of, that we should want to fill our bodies with, apart from all the other great food. Just recently, I was talking with the overseer. He pointed out a plan to me. It was a plan there, and he said, "Now, do you know what this is?" And I was like, "No, I don't." He says, "Pork salad." I said, "Okay." So I wanted to look that up. I went and checked it. Well, you know, Yahweh doesn't waste words. Okay? So when our overseer speaking, at any time, he does not waste any words too. And I look up that pork weed and the pork salad. It strengthens the immune system and some other facts. And you can find these things on the website. This is from allfornaturalhealth.com. Okay? It helped with acne, scrapies, even cancer. And ulcers. I was really surprised. These are things that we find readily available to us here at the great house of Yahweh. Okay? So when you see another portion of greens in our plate, consider it. The benefit that's in there is greens. Okay? The benefit of the hard work that went into preparing those greens, to protecting the greens. All of these things. It's very beautiful. So please take it to heart. Look at this right here. Certainly, this is an effect of what occur when the blood cells is less than normal in the body. And this is a case of anemia. Okay? This is just one case. I don't want to ruin anyone's appetite before dinner today, so I'm not going to show any more of those today. But the food pyramid, there's a food pyramid, and you can find this at healthyto100book.com. And it shows 50 years ago the food and the values and what it had in that food compared to the food today. You know, and I want to show you this right here. You see Frank here. If you can see Frank trying to run here. And he's pretty much on this Frankenstein food. As I said, a Frankenstein food. And these are some of the GMO products that we find in our supermarkets today. You know, and it's no fault against the supermarket. They all buy into this false conception that these things are okay, acceptable. Okay? But we have to be thankful and consider these things that's been offered in the house of Yahweh because it is for our benefit. Okay, now for the next food I want to talk about. Do you want to guess what it is? Raw peanuts. Raw peanuts are an awesome source of healthy monosaturated fat, according to the 2003 study at Purdue University Department of Food and Nutrition. This explains why consumption of peanut reduces cardiovascular disease risk factors. Eating raw peanuts allow you to maximize this benefit. Since many commercial peanut butter contains added saturated fat to prevent separation, I brought along a few friends to help me with this demonstration. Please play the video. While the video is playing, I'll talk. What you're looking at is an example of raw organic peanut butter compared to the nice, spreadable, really easy to use peanut butter. And here you're seeing the ants, those little creatures there, little ants, going over to the peanut butter and deciding which one they want to partake of. Some of the ants you will see here shortly running away from one or the other peanut butter. They can't still figure out what to do with that easy to spread stuff. So what's going on? Now, as this video goes on, of course I didn't stay there the whole time, but I was watching it. Ants could carry so much more of their body weight. So it was really amazing to see how fast that peanut butter was disappearing. These ants were really doing their job. Okay? They were really doing their job effectively. As you can see, the real nice, soft, easy to spread peanut butter, the ant still doesn't know what to do with that. Okay? As you can see, the organic raw peanut butter is all gone. Consider these things. Okay? Consider these things. Now, I want to ask you, because I guess we can stop the video. Thank you. I told you I had a quiz. Now, there's three things that Yahweh says to go to. Do you know what they are? Three things. One, go to the... Oh, boy, they got it already, right? It's go to the place, right? That's right. Go to the place, right? Deuteronomy 12, 5 to 8. Then when you go to the place, you go to the priest. You go to the priest. Deuteronomy 17, verse 9. And then go to the ants and consider these things. Thank you. And now I turn it over to our next speaker.
Shalom, great house of Yahweh. Please, please, you may be seated. My name is Renalia Dulan Hawkins. And after listening to all the great speakers before me, I was truly inspired because they all had the same message. And this great message, the great kingdom of Yahweh, which every one of you in this room are today. And this leads us straight into my title today that says, The Message of Unity. And if everyone would, please pull out your pens and pencils if you don't already have them out. I'd like for you to write something. I'd like for you to write, remember, I am in the right place. Remember, I am in the right place. Write it big, if you will. Write it in your notes. So for our opening scripture, please, everyone, please turn to Matithia 24:14. That's on page 752. That's Matithia 24:14. Very well known scripture in the house of Yahweh. Praise Yahweh for that. And the scripture reads, "And this message of the kingdom, all the great speakers before me, everything that we have here at the house of Yahweh, the great message of the kingdom will be preached to all the world by the one." And we know who that one is that we stand by, we stand for, our great pastor, Yisrael Hawkins, who bears witness, and we have the greatest opportunity to also bear witness with him. To bear witness with him. What a privilege, house of Yahweh. To all nations. To all nations. Bringing this beautiful light, this beautiful message to the world, to the nations. Even as we speak, they reject it. But not for very much longer. And then, of course, the end will come. The end will come. The destruction will come. The deception will come to an end. So as one of our speakers was reviewing that the reverence of Yahweh is a part of this great message, of course, of the kingdom of Yahweh, and we must commit ourselves to Yahweh. And Yahweh shows us how to do that by taking our oaths and how to take those oaths. Those oaths are described in Deuteronomy 6:13. So if you would please turn to Deuteronomy 6:13, that's on page 152. Deuteronomy 6:13. And the beautiful instruction says that Yahweh, your Father, our Father, who is in heaven, we must reverence. We must take a hold of His name. We must understand His name and what it represents, the awesome unity. You know, as I was speaking and listening, of course, with the great speakers before me, understanding this true reverence of Yahweh and this beautiful name, this awesome name that's above all names, and with Him, as individuals, as families, as communities, we must serve each other. And when we do that, we serve our Father who is in heaven. We serve Father Yahweh. And by His name, you must take your oaths. And if you look at G5 as a reference, it's an awesome reference that says that by confessing His name, that we serve Him only. And this brings us into unity, great house of Yahweh. The beautiful blessing of being in unity together, working together, striving together, overcoming together. There's so many layers of the great message of the kingdom, but it all spells the same thing. It all means the same thing. Us overcoming, helping each other. And so many of the prior speakers were such a great inspiration. The one thing that I learned from this feast for myself is forgiveness. And I've seen it more in Yahweh's people than I've ever have. And I guess I've seen it more in myself. But we take this oath to learn to forgive, to learn to overcome and see that joy and feel that joy. As one of the speakers mentioned, he feels that joy within himself and it swells up. It is an awesome feeling. And then we also have diamonds are forever. The people of Yahweh, under pressure, under extreme pressures, extreme temperatures, but that guide us, that mold us. You know, I keep thinking of, you know, Pastor, of course, and he sets these goals for us, right? He sets these awesome goals for us to do and to consider the great compassion that he has, not only that, but through Yeshua, Messiah. And he gives it to us. He really does. He gives it to us. And we've seen, I ask everyone to think on this feast and look at the care and the concern and the compassion and the great teachings of the peace of solution here. That is the unity of Yahweh. It's the final touches of Yahweh's plan. And that, as that speaker mentioned, the mantle deep in the earth where the pressure is at, where the heat is at. You know, and he did ask a kindness of me, and he wanted me to share it with Yahweh's beautiful house, of course, and this is what it is. It is this diamond cut. And you can see the great character that this diamond has. Look how beautiful it is. But this is the people of Yahweh, the great, beautiful character of Yahweh. But he wanted to make sure that I showed that and held that up to the people of Yahweh, because this does represent the great house of Yahweh. Praise Yahweh. And then we had another great speaker that said that the gates of hell won't prevail. The gates of hell won't prevail. Where did we learn that from? Our great teacher. You know, and I would like to say something to our great teacher today, that he is perfect. He's perfect. He's perfect. He's a perfect teacher. There's no one like him. He's our mentor. He's our role model. He is a positive role model. He is the light. He brings this message to us, helping us finish our calling. Finish our calling. And the beautiful, the idea of dwelling, as the speaker said, dwelling at Abel. In Isaiah 2:2, page 531 for your notes, that we will be established. Who is the house of Yahweh? The people of Yahweh will be established in the last days, when there is no hope for the world. There is no hope for the world. We can look at the world. We see the world. There is no hope. It provides a great pressure sometimes. But we know this is where righteousness dwells, where we can change, where we can make a difference. And we are making a difference. Let no man deceive you. You are the house of Yahweh. You are overcoming. And we are overcoming because this is the message of the light, the great light, established in righteousness, invited into the beautiful garden of Yahweh. Moving on to our next speaker, that the universe is our next assignment. And I wanted to show something that the great speaker did. He was getting the opportunity to show it, but I wanted to show everyone the beautiful works of Yahweh's hands. And he did mention this was the butterfly nebula. And I do have a scripture, if you would turn to it. It's Psalms 8:3. It's Psalms 8:3. And I thought it was just a fitting scripture for this situation, that when we consider your heavens, the work of what your fingers framed, of what your fingers have framed, the work of the moon and the stars, which you are by, which were by you ordained, by Yahweh's creation, He ordained this, these laws to set in motion, to create these beautiful planets, the beautiful opportunity that we see today and that we do have today. And as He said before, look up, because your redemption draws near. And then as we move on, we finally understand what trespassing means, but the Peaceful Solution Character Education Program provides the answers. It provides the STOP acronym to control it, to understand it, so we can understand ourselves, so we can be a part of stopping this war, whether it's within ourselves or whether it's in the world, doesn't matter. And then finally, considering these things, obedience pleases Father Yahweh. Healthy bodies and healthy minds. Leviticus 10:10 shows us the importance of discerning the clean and the unclean, so we can come to unity, reach our potential together, overcome together. This is the covenant. This is the great message of Yahweh. To be able to make contact with Yahweh. And then finally, the beautiful attitude of servitude. Serving each other continually, learning, improving our character, understanding where we need to make the corrections, and then absolutely doing it, going through the pain, going through the pain. But at the end, it's fruits of love and labor and of the great work of Yahweh. And then finally, in closing, consider these things, that the reverence of Yahweh is having an attitude of servitude. So don't trespass. Because only righteousness will prevail. And Yahweh's diamonds, His people, is where righteousness dwells forever. Being ready for the universe, our next assignment. Praise God. And to thank the great house of Yahweh. And it's been a great and awesome honor to stand before everyone today. And
free.